This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for being with us today. If you're looking for fresh produce, this is the right time in Wisconsin. Local farmers and small-scale growers have a bounty of fresh produce that they sell through everything from CSAs to farmers markets to your local supermarket. But as you know, it's a much different story here in November or February or even March and sometimes April. And when you're a large-scale kitchen producing meals for many people, it's an especially major issue. A Wisconsin startup is working to bridge that gap. Rick Terrian is founder and CEO of Innovation Kitchen, which is based in Dodgeville, but works with growers around the state. He also works with food entrepreneurs around the state who are looking to scale up a recipe. And he's with us in the studio now. Rick Terrian, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you, Mitch. Thanks for the invitation.
We have talked in the past about the concept of so-called incubator kitchens, but more recently, your work has changed a bit. You've done now work that's dovetailed with the local foods movement. How are the kitchen concepts and the local foods movement linked?
Great question. The incubator-style kitchen is one that has been an entry-level step for folks that want to enter commercial food processing, and they would rent the kitchen and process it themselves. It's terrific for caterers, food trucks. It's harder for individual entrepreneurs. But we tried that, and we did that in our rural kitchen in Mineral Point. What we found was missing even more is a contract manufacturing plant that's above the level of where the incubators would be. It's where food can be brought in from the regional farms, processed on a commercial scale, and also people can have their own recipes made there for them rather than stir the pot themselves at 11 o'clock at night. They can have it made for them in small artisan batches, and then we can help them market it.
And this is the idea that it allows the entrepreneurs to do what they're good at and have a group of people who are good at making and processing the stuff do what they're good at.
It works better for all involved, but especially the entrepreneurs. That's what I found most. The buyers, there's a great demand for regional foods, especially our Wisconsin regional foods. We're in the middle of 35 million people. They spend $100 billion in food each year. The buyers want to see those entrepreneurs come in. They want the entrepreneur. They don't want a salesperson. The entrepreneur's hair's on fire. They're really excited about their product. And we've got a team to back them up of culinary professionals with all the certifications on the wall that when they make that recipe for that entrepreneur, it can be sold anywhere in the United States.
This also speaks to or seems to speak to two issues that local producers haven't always had access to commercial food service markets, and also that these food service outfits haven't necessarily reached out to local producers. What has really kept that from happening in the past?
It's an unknown. It's new territory. It's this regional foods has really just hit us, and we've all as economic development types, community development types, have been searching for the right pathways to do this. And in this case, we think we've taken a small step. We formed a new startup just to do that wiring up. So we work with about 125 farms. Family farms in Wisconsin, and we work to buy and gather their produce when it's at its peak, when it's at its freshest, and we can process it and stabilize it so we can bring Wisconsin local foods to the market all year round.
Well, and so paint a picture of that for us. This means that as corn is being harvested, you're taking it in and stabilizing it so that it's still relatively fresh later on down the road?
That's correct. In most cases, it's a very light processing step, usually a blanching. It's got to be some sort of a kill step typically.
Say kill step, and I don't know that people know that term.
Sure. So we need to make food safe. This is a very important matter, and that's why these professional kitchens are so vital, is that their focus number one, two, and three is food safety. And that's what we're really selling in Wisconsin. We have a wonderful history of wholesomeness and pure food and beer, and that it's got to tremendous oversight and good oversight. So what we'll do is we'll take that food in. We'll contract with the farmers. We're very proud of our support for those farmers. The United States has lost over 100,000 family farms in the last 5 years. So we're working to support those groups, and so we'll buy from them. We'll typically we've got a very unique pay method where we pay right up front. We really want to support them. We want our grandchildren working with their grandchildren on their farm and our work. So we'll bring it in. We'll stabilize it. It's often prepping it. This is a big thing rather than bringing raw produce into urban areas where it's going to generate a lot of waste. Often in the kitchens when they can be put into the growing regions, they can take that waste and move it right back and make an agricultural use out of it. We can compost it and get it back. But so it's typically blanched or baked, and we will dice it, get it into some usable form. We're really turning it into ingredient at this point. We do have this program where we're making individual products for our entrepreneurs, but the main line going through the kitchens is to turn Wisconsin local produce into ingredients so it can be brought to the hospitals and convention and event centers, restaurant groups, people that really want to promote that they support Wisconsin farms, Wisconsin jobs. And they can get it as ingredients and turn it into their final product. But it can have local year-round this way.
And these are ingredients that these commercial size kitchens wouldn't necessarily have access to locally if they were just looking to buy fresh produce that's just come out of the ground.
It doesn't exist. And it all comes out of the ground in three or four, you know, five, 6 weeks that we're in the heart of right now. And in fact, in Wisconsin, a third of our crop, we're the second largest vegetable growing state in the United States now. And according to our Department of Ag, we plow under one third of the crop each year. It comes up, there's no place to put it, there's no place to stable it, and it gets fed to livestock or it gets plowed under. It's a tremendous waste.
Well, what are the kinds of produce that are part of this effort?
Oh gosh, it starts early and it just keeps getting better. So we had a lot of wonderful asparagus, Wisconsin asparagus, and strawberries early on, very early in the season. There's even some wild foods like ramps, but then the standards start coming in, and we've got, you know, green beans and yellow beans and green peppers, and now corn, and pretty soon we're going to have this wonderful abundance of squash and tomatoes and pumpkin. All of which can be turned into really delicious ingredient for year-round use on these menus.
Your mission with these contract kitchens in the past has been to both support local food entrepreneurs, but also to generate jobs for people with disabilities. Does this new work wrap in that effort as well?
It continues. It goes right along. So the Wisconsin Innovation Kitchen, my friends there, it's owned by a center for people with disabilities, and I fell in love with this place when I was working out there. I moved my office in when it was still a construction site. We had three people with disabilities working there, and there's now over 40 people that have jobs. It's a very difficult jobs to make, and we're very, very proud of that. And I think that story can only keep getting better.
What are the lessons you've learned in the years that you have been working with food entrepreneurs?
The devil's in the details. Everybody has great recipes. The trouble is getting them organized well enough to get into commercial markets in a safe, legal way. And it's some of the most boring parts of this that you can imagine. It's the labels. It's the packaging. It's ingredient sourcing. It's all of that before you ever hit the kitchen.
And presumably this is not the reason why these people have decided to become food entrepreneurs. They're not interested in it for the labels.
That's correct. And yet without, they're never going to be on those shelves. And so that's the role we play, is we're a bridge between the entrepreneur and their idea and the commercial markets that are waiting for their food, that are looking for their food.
How is the climate for this work in 2014 compared to when you first began?
It's night and day. So it was a very fringy subject 4, 5, 6 years ago. A few key insiders all knew that this was something that's probably good for economic development, probably good for our farms, but we didn't really have any idea. And that subject area has just been morphing and evolving at a rapid rate. Now the conversations are the people who want the local foods aren't necessarily on the fringe yelling to the crowd in the middle. It's the crowd in the middle. It's our hospitals. It's our convention centers. It's our restaurants who are all saying, we want local foods. We want to support our region. That's a sea change.
And is there concern that without efforts like this, those commercial enterprises might be looking to make shortcuts?
Well, everybody's going to do what's easiest and convenient. We all lead complicated, busy lives, as do all the people working in those kind of businesses. So my job and my goal is to make this more convenient, make it easier. So right now, hospitals and these convention groups and event groups, they can order from us right now corn or any of the squash or beans or any kind of Wisconsin produce, and we can get it. And when it's at its freshest, at its best price right now, it's coming in flush right now in Wisconsin, we can get it. And by buying it now, and we tie the hospital here together with another hospital there and another hospital there, pretty soon we're buying two or three fields. Next thing I know, we've got great pricing, and they've got corn and beans and pumpkins and strawberries and on their menus in January.
Economies of scale at work here.
Correct. Even though it's small by big commercial scales, it's a needed step for regional foods in our area to work.
Well, what are some of the success stories in this field that you might want to share? I mean, I know you've been working with a Milwaukee native recently who's not in the Milwaukee area anymore, but it sounds like a remarkable story.
Oh, we love Mr. James Ross. I hope you get to hear this, Mr. Ross. Mr. Ross was he had a professional career here in Milwaukee, worked with Harley-Davidson, worked with Miller, but he grew up in the Mississippi Delta, and his grandparents taught him a great recipe for Southern-style tamales. And he and his dad sold them from a cart in St. Louis while he was growing up. He was a veteran. He came to Milwaukee, raised his family here, had a great career here, and he's moved to Minneapolis now, but he's been struggling to find a way. He's like me, of a certain age, and is becoming an entrepreneur.
35.
35, going on bald. Mr. Ross is not. We're senior citizens. We're older folks, but we're in the thick of a fight to start new businesses and to show that these recipes from our past and that our simple foods, our strong foods, can be made on a modest commercial scale, brought into the world of commerce and make jobs and new businesses for people. And his is a great one.
And this is tamales that he is making now?
He's got Southern-style tamales. We've got a new young chef from Beloit. I'm really proud of this. He just won a big regional TV contest. We're making a Heroes Bites for him. There's a couple of guys. I mean, there's a peanut butter company out by us. It's called Yum Butter. Outpost carries it here. A lot of folks, not to plug anybody special, but they've got a bunch of distribution, Whole Foods here. They came to us with a gleam in their eye on how to start a food business. And about 3 weeks ago, they were on the Today Show nationwide. Martha Stewart had them on Martha Stewart Living on the TV show and on her magazine. They're just rocking it. So people are starting lots of different kind of businesses. I've got a rock star customer out in Elkhorn, Karen and John. They run a B&B out there. And our guests really loved their B&B food, vegan food. And Karen came to us and said, can we try to make some, have this made here? And next thing we know, we've got probably a dozen different products we're making for them. And I'm so proud of them. About 18 months from starting, Karen was standing on the stage with Governor Walker and receiving us an award for Minority Rising Star Business of the Year in Wisconsin.
Well, they are great stories. And I thank you so much for sharing them with us. Rick Tarian, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mitch. Appreciate the invitation.
Rick Tarian is founder and CEO of Innovation Kitchen, a Dodgeville-based company that works with growers and food producers around Wisconsin. A short break now, and then another Wisconsin food story. We'll hear why Jeff Miller went from international lawyer in England to ice cream shop owner in Wisconsin. His story when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.